Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A comprehensive new report has found that Ireland's energy policy has to be rebalanced to meet the needs of the citizens. It's called Rebalancing Ireland's Energy Policy, and it looks at what's called the energy trilemma. With rising costs in electricity prices and the growing concerns of energy security, how can Ireland better look after the needs of the consumer? Well, I'm joined in studio by Eamon O'Reilly, who's the chairman of the Energy and Climate Action Committee at the Irish Academy of Engineering, which produced this report. Eamon, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now tell us, why did you do this?
To be honest, I think it came from a sense of frustration. It comes from a frustration at the state of Irish energy policy. We have what we think is an unachievable climate neutrality objective for 2050. At the same time, we've got a target for 54,000 megawatts of renewable energy, which is far more than the country could ever need. And alongside that, the first milestone in that by 2030, 5,000 megawatts, we're not going to come within a country mile of actually achieving that. And in the meantime, the price of energy and energy security are all but being ignored in policy.
So we have lofty ambitions, but not the roadmap to achieve those ambitions.
We have lofty ambitions, but lofty ambitions on one dimension of that energy trilemma and nothing really on the other two.
Now, when we look at Ireland in general, our emissions are tiny in global terms. And they are decreasing while global emissions are increasing. So we're kind of doing the right thing, but we're minuscule in our effect.
Yeah, the reality is no matter what we do, it's not going to have any impact on Ireland's climate, positive or negative. Global emissions are enormous and they're increasing. We have emissions something like 58 million tonnes a year. I think the figure globally is 54,000 million tonnes. So no matter what we do, you don't need to be a climatologist to see that the little bit that we do, and we are improving and we should be improving, that's not going to make any difference to our economy.
You're not saying to stop what we're doing, like they might be in the United States who they want to reverse certain things. You're saying, no, keep doing what we're doing, but be aware it's not going to have much effect.
Absolutely. This is a very difficult discussion, Pat. Like so many discussions nowadays are polar. You're either on the black side or you're on the white side. You're either pro-climate action or anti-climate action. In fact, in the real world, you've got to find a balance between the two. And that's what we're suggesting that Ireland needs to do. And if we don't do it, we have the precedent. We have a rising movement in Britain with Reform, for example, who are actively saying they would rip up contracts with renewable operators if they get into power. We should not, as a country, be going that route. We need to find a balanced approach that meets the needs of the citizen.
Now, you say that the elimination of greenhouse gases should be framed as desirable rather than what they are, which is unfeasible mandatory objectives.
Correct. You cannot have an objective set in law. It's then set in policy. You cannot have a mandatory objective set there that people have to deliver. If they can't do it because of the lack of technology or the technology they're relying on is intermittent, you have to have policies that are realistic.
Now, on page 20 of your report, you have a table, how geography and political choices shape primary energy. And the political choices might be, do we go nuclear or not? Because there are some countries that have decided to go that way and their dependence on emissions of greenhouse gases is much lower than ours.
Yeah, if hopefully some of the listeners will go to the trouble of downloading the report, reading it, having a look at that table. What you find when you look across Europe is that countries like Sweden and Finland have very low emissions. They have a very low proportion of fossil fuels in their primary energy. And the reason for that is a combination of two things. They either have a lot of hydro, or a lot of nuclear, or in some cases they have both. Ireland, for reasons of geography, we're a small flat island, we can't have a lot of hydro, and we said no to nuclear.
Okay, if you look at Denmark, they are doing particularly well because they have 52.9% fossil fuels. Ireland is 83%. So Denmark, you say, we're not too dissimilar to Denmark. Okay, big Jutland Peninsula and so on, but basically a lot of water around them. How have they done it and we haven't?
We're very significantly different from the
world. Because they have no nuclear, I hasten to add.
They have no nuclear. They have a lot of biomethane. They're far ahead of Ireland on that. But the critical thing that they have is geography works in their, to their advantage. So geographically, the electricity grid in Denmark is linked into the wider grid in Europe and to the wider grid in the Nordic area. So they are able to have a huge amount of renewables on their system. When they've too much, it's easy enough for that to move almost automatically into Germany or into Sweden or into Norway. And likewise, when there's a shortage of wind, they import. So they're importing about 11% of their electricity. We, in the first half of this year, are importing about 17%. We don't have the luxury of having what's called a synchronous connection to the wider European grid, which they have, and that works greatly to their advantage.
Now, talk to me about what you have called the energy trilemma, because there are three legs to this particular stool.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Yeah, when I did electrical engineering in UCD back in the late 70s, early 80s, you were looking at an electricity system where you're trying to balance two things. One was cost and one was security of supply. We hadn't heard about greenhouse gas emissions in those days, so there was a dilemma to be worked between. When the sustainability and greenhouse gas emissions in around 1990 began to be understood, that dilemma became a trilemma. So the challenge for energy policy is to get the correct balance between sustainability, security of supply and price. We're aspiring to do what I think is the impossible on the sustainability leg, while ignoring the other two legs. As a result, Irish consumers are paying an awful lot. And we are, in Ireland, one major event away from an energy shock, such as we had in the 1970s. And maybe it is an age thing, Pat. People forget the impact on Ireland of the Saudi oil shocks, the two of them in the 1970s. I remember my father queuing for petrol, 6 and 8 pence a gallon, queuing for petrol, hoping he would be able to get the car filled. Mm. And if we hit something like that, the current generation, the younger generation, if you like, don't have any concept of what an energy shock looks like. Maybe look at what happened in the Iberian Peninsula. That gives you a sense what an energy shock looks like.
Well, the lights went out.
The lights went out and people died.
Now, the question of how we give ourselves security of supply, there are a number of ways. One is that we use liquid natural gas and we have a store of it. And we know there were plans to build a rather large store, which were nixed by Minister Ryan. But that would give us security of supply for a while. Then there's the idea of interconnectors, which could give us security of supply. And then finally, there's the idea of small modular nuclear reactors, which are beginning to come on stream. I think in your report it refers to 4 in Abu Dhabi, which have been constructed and are coming on stream now. Explain what each of those can offer.
Okay, if we leave the nuclear to the side, and I'll come back to that in a moment. The best explanation of energy security, ironically, comes from the National Risk Assessment published by government in 2024, when they identify within that we have we don't have any store of gas, which other countries do. We have a table in the report which shows what other countries have by comparison to Ireland. And the other thing, we don't have any diversity of supply. So we're taking all of our supply from the British market, and two pipelines come from Scotland down to the east coast of Ireland. They cross each other in the middle of the Irish Sea. So we've only one source of supply. So it is quite clear when you stand back and take a look at our energy situation, we need more sources of supply. LNG would give you that. We also need a store such that if for any event, the supply of gas, let's say coming from the two pipelines from Moffat and Scotland, were to be interrupted for any reason, whatever, it could be geopolitical, it could be accidental, it could be for whatever reason, we can run the country, and we say we need to be able to run the country for about 30 days. There's nothing novel in this concept. It's exactly what happened in the 1970s after the oil shocks. Ireland set up an organisation called NORA, the National Oil Reserves Agency. They today have stores of 1.6 million tonnes, mostly of diesel, such that if for any reason there was a geopolitical shock in oil, Ireland can keep going for a period of time. We have nothing whatsoever on gas.
So we need to do that as a matter of urgency. What about the idea, and I can already sense the vulnerability of electrical interconnectors between France and the island of Britain?
There's a lot of electrical interconnectors. There's electrical interconnectors between Ireland and Britain. There's a new one going to come on stream shortly between Ireland and France, and there's lots in the North Sea. The thing about electrical interconnectors is you do not control the other end. You do not control the supply. These interconnectors are DC interconnectors, and the access to energy from one market to another is agreed between the transmission system operators. So let's say, for example, we've all these interconnectors to Britain, and we've a new one has come on stream this year. If the British operator transmission system operator says, we actually have a shortage in the British market, we're not going to supply anything to you, Ireland, terribly sorry, that's outside of our control. So that doesn't give us security of supply. So it's the equivalent in my mind of the intermittency of wind. You don't have control on the wind, nor do you have control with the interconnectors, what's on the other side.
One of the extraordinary things is that we actually need more, if you like, plant of various kinds than we did when we simply had thermal. You know, we burnt peat, we burnt gas, we burnt coal, we generated electricity. Now we need four different sets of kit, if you like.
That's absolutely correct. And it's something I think that is not well enough appreciated. So in the past, we had, let's call it a conventional plant. The conventional plant did a lot of things for you. It delivered your power. It also did things called system service, and I won't go into the technology behind that. And it effectively backed itself up. You had a little bit more than you actually needed on the day. So if one broke down, another would step in. Now we have a situation where you still need that same amount of conventional plant. It won't run very often if you have a lot of renewables. The renewables is the second set of assets that you need. You need different assets then to do these things called system services. And it actually was the lack of system services in Spain that caused the Iberian blackout. And the fourth thing you need then is a lot of storage. So you can effectively time shift power from wind. When there's a lot of wind, but not so much demand, you can time shift it a little bit. That's four sets of assets.
So you're talking about batteries, for example.
That's primarily batteries. Yeah,
okay.
Over short durations.
Now, there are people who say you can generate hydrogen using the spare electricity when the wind is blowing. You can have green ammonia. You can have e-methanol. Do you see those as contributing anything major to the whole energy equation?
All of those things are possible on paper. If you look over 25 years, you've got to be realistic with what you can deliver in 25 years. You can only rely over the next 25 years on technologies you know are tried, tested and proven today. It'd be irresponsible. It's wishful thinking is a phrase we've used before. It'd be irresponsible to think that we're going to have hydrogen in 5 years' time.
But
we
also,
simply might
also
not.
You make the point that a typical thermal plant, the Money Point coal-fired power station had a life of, 60 years? Ardna Crusha on the go for 95 years and still going. I suppose Thurlock Hill will have that kind of lifespan as well. Wind, though, 25 years, 30 years for a windmill.
The onshore wind turbines seem to have a life of about 25 years. Offshore, I think they're talking about maybe having about 35. And at the end of that period, they either have to be taken away entirely or a new planning permission delivered to put new turbines in place. This is extraordinary. You wouldn't build a house if you had a 50-year planning permission.
Finally then, nuclear. You mentioned that this might be a way forward, but legislatively we can't even do it. We have to change our legislation to allow for even feasibility on nuclear.
I don't think we need to change the legislation to look at the feasibility. The Estonians have been doing this now for the last couple of years in a milestone program at the International Atomic Energy Agency, of which Ireland actually is a member. So what we should be doing, we make this for this point for the third time in this report, we should be preparing for nuclear on the basis that we're going to take a decision. It's not a commitment to make the decision. So what do we need? We need the legislation in place to regulate nuclear if we take a decision in the future to go that route. I think the key thing is that this generation should not be precluding options for the next generation that they might want to avail of.
Now, it's a fascinating report, quite technical. I found it absolutely absorbing when I read it over the weekend. Where can people find it?
They can find it on the website of the Irish Academy of Engineering, iae.ie.
Okay, iae.ie, well worth downloading. Eamon O'Reilly, thank you very much for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.